Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, and oh yeah, sometimes the international. And like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number three. And I'll just remind you guys that we've got a lot of things happening out there in the world that sometimes come in through the back door. And I'm doing this whole next dipper called Over Your Shoulder. There's a lot of backdoor ways that liberals are trying to do what I would call conditioning your behavior. And they're also doing what's called viewpoint discrimination, which is the legal term for basically saying, despite the fact that you have a right to feel the way you do, we don't want you to feel the way you do, so we're going to discriminate against you. Well, there's several ways this is happening. You've got situations like debanking, which we'll get into more in detail in a moment. You've got stuff like, did you know that your apps and or your connected car devices may be sending data to your insurance companies that could get you blacklisted for the way you drive? And oh, by the way, did you know that there are red flag laws out there that are simply ways of passing laws to prevent you from buying guns because somebody somewhere thinks maybe you shouldn't have one? All of this stuff is what I would call looking over your shoulder to see what you're doing. It's like sitting on a plane, you realize the person next to you is reading your screen on your laptop. It's just invasive. It's wrong. So that being said, let me start with this. Debanking is a big deal. And somebody who has experienced it firsthand is our own Alabama State Auditor, Andrew Sorrell. Andrew Sorrell served as a member of the Alabama House of Representatives. He was elected this past election season to a term as a state auditor and is doing a great job. He's got a piece that came out on 1819 News that talks about him being debanked personally and why it shouldn't be allowed to happen. So without further ado, Andrew Sorrell, state auditor, how you doing?
Phil, it's good to be on with you. This is an important topic, and it's really seen quite a big uptick over the last few years, so I appreciate you getting me on to talk about it.
Yeah, man. Well, I appreciate you making time, and I think I've talked enough. You go ahead and lay it out there. What happened to you, and how'd you put all the pieces together on this?
You know, normally when I go on the radio to talk about an issue, I'm talking about an issue that honestly doesn't necessarily affect me personally. It affects other people or citizens in Alabama, you know, some constitutional right we're defending or whatever. No, this one really hits home with me because it happened to me.
Yeah.
It didn't have anything to do with the fact that I was an elected official or anything. It had nothing to do with that. It's the fact that I owned a gun store. That's what it was. So debanking is when a bank or an insurance company, credit card processor in my case, decides that they don't want to do business with you because they don't like the type of business that you're doing. So this happened to me in three stages over three different years. The first stage was we had a credit card with a large national bank. If I said the name, everybody would recognize it instantly. You see the commercials all over TV. We had a very large credit line with them. We did a lot of business with them, especially in the early days when we were trying to get our business up and off the ground. One day we received a letter from them. They were dropping our credit card. No explanation, just in 30 days we're closing your account. You can continue making minimum payments, or you can pay it off, whatever you want to do, but you can no longer charge or close in your account.
So
and I thought, well, that's odd.
Just out of the blue.
We've never missed a
payment.
Correct.
Gosh.
Yeah. Okay. We were an excellent customer of this large bank, and we were quite confused by it. Never crossed my mind that it had anything to do with the fact that we were a gun store at the time. So we just went and got a different credit card somewhere else and moved on with life until the next year. When our credit card processor sent us a letter saying, we're dropping you in 30 days. Again, no explanation. Now, the credit card processors, again, we're a great customer for them. You know, we're doing about $1 million in revenue at each of our two stores. They're getting a cut on that. Any of the transactions that aren't cash sales are getting a cut on. And they're making great money off of us. Why would a credit card processor drop our business?
Yeah.
And it's not even like we're not paying the bill. Like, they withhold their own payment from our bill. You know what I'm saying? Like, we were great customers for both of these two entities. So at this point, we're starting to get a little bit suspicious. So like, what is going on here? And we said, we can't risk this happening again. We need to go to a local bank. We bank with First Metro Bank in Florence. We went to a small local bank where I know the people. They're not woke. I literally know the owner. I went to high school with his son, right? We set up credit card processing services with a local bank. So, all right, we got that fire put out. Until the next year, when another letter came from our insurance company dropping us.
My
and
gosh.
I was like, what is going on? It's like, we can't do business for all the other companies that don't want to do business with us. So we called our insurance broker and we said, you know, can we price out get another insurance? And by the way, why do you think they dropped us? And his comment was, oh, they're dropping all the gun stores.
Oh, yeah.
And then it all clicked. It all made sense. We're being debanked for political purposes. We're operating a legal business, but they don't like the kind of business that we're in, so they're just not going to do business with us anymore. So that's my own personal debanking story. But Phil, the scary thing is, you know, somebody like me, at least if I write an op-ed about it, 1819 News will publish it statewide, gets a lot of attention, a lot of coverage. What happens when the average Joe gets debanked?
Yeah.
Right? It's not a politician. How is that person supposed to tell their story or supposed to fight back? And this brings to mind the story of Nigel Farage, the Brexit leader in Great Britain, who was debanked for the exact same reason. They were mad. The big woke corporations were mad at him for leading the Brexit charge, and they decided at the same time to debank him. Unfortunately, they had some open records laws and stuff over there. He was able to get the files, copies of the files where they debanked him. They're talking emails back and forth about how they're going to do this. And their conclusion was Nigel Farage is unlikely to go to the media with this story because it would be personally embarrassing for him to say that he had been debanked. And he said, they don't know me at all.
I've met him briefly, and that is absolutely not who he is. One of my favorite speeches is his speech to the EU right after the Brexit vote. But, you know, I'm going to tell you what, you're telling me something that I have heard from other places. We had a major gun accessory provider, manufacturer, that was thinking about advertising on Right Side. And right as they were about to, the guy had to contact me and goes, hey, man, the banking thing has gotten crazy for us. And I think we're in a position right now where I've got to reassess everything for the moment. And it was because of the exact same things you're talking about around the same time frame you're talking about. All of the ESG scoring and everything else got crazy for a while there. And corporations just gave in to this. And the idea is basically that the consumer means nothing to us anymore. It's all about getting our ESG score up.
Yeah, that's right. And now let's be fair. I want to give a little bit. It's not all just the big banks going woke. The big banks themselves are being pressured by, you know, the government, by the FBI in the case of Twitter. You remember when Twitter files came out, the FBI had basically said, hey, can you suppress these people's? We don't want, you know, make sure their reach doesn't go anywhere. We don't want people seeing what they're posting. So they're being influenced by the government. And then, I mean, let's not forget about the Operation Choke Point back in, what was that? It was the Obama administration,
right.
2014 era.
Right.
And the FDIC and the Office of the Comptroller of the Currency warned financial institutions that doing business with ammunition sellers, coin dealers, et cetera, increased their risk of fraud, hint, hint, stop doing business with them. And, I mean, that is literally the government just telling big banks to debank their own customers. So they're getting pressure as well. But my position is, you know, as a conservative, you don't like to tell businesses who they have to do business with and whatnot. But my first comment to that would be, well, first of all, we already say business can't discriminate. You can't not do business with somebody because they're African-American. You can't choose to not do business with them because they're a female. How about you can't not choose to do business with them because they're exercising their constitutional right to sell firearms?
Yeah.
I think it's a discrimination issue. And number two, we bail these big banks out with taxpayer money every time they get into trouble. Okay, so if you're too big to fail, then you're not too big for us to tell you that you can't debank conservatives.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, you can pretty much guarantee that there were no credit cards shut off at abortion clinics or medical marijuana sales. They're just, you know, they can still process just fine in some of these institutions where you can you know, have all the vices of life, but the idea that a constitutionally protected sale of a firearm draws the ire. It just flies in the face of both common sense and good business practice. Listen, I happen to know that Attorney General Steve Marshall is part of a fight against this. What do you know about that?
Well, I know a little bit about it. Oddly enough, I had lunch with Steve Marshall today. It's funny you mention him. We sat there for about an hour and a half and chatted, and I saw in his office before I came over, you may remember this, his Conservative Policy Warrior Award from 2020, which was the same year I got my award back when you worked at the Alabama Policy Institute.
Yes.
So we had a nice little reminiscence about that. But I believe he signed on to a coalition of 15 state attorneys general, sending a letter to the Bank of America CEO, Brian Moynihan, for conditioning access to its services on customers having the bank's preferred religious or political views.
Yeah.
So same type thing. So he's actively engaged in this fight. We actually talked about this. I asked him if he had read my op-ed. He had not seen it yet, but he said he was going to go read it after we left for lunch. But yeah, we're lucky to have Steve Marshall in this state because, you know, every time I read an article about what he's doing, I agree with it. I'm like, I'm so thankful for him speaking out on issues like this.
Yeah, a lot of folks don't realize that an attorney general is not just there to prosecute crimes. He's there to defend the interests of the state sometimes, too. And this would be one. On writ large, this is a defense of the interests of the citizens of the state who don't deserve not to get debanked for simply having a belief or a position or a lawfully opportunity to sell something like a gun.
And I think we should also mention there's a case for the U.S. Supreme Court right now. I talk about it in the op-ed. The New York State Department of Financial Services Superintendent Maria Volo, who issued a statement to banks suggesting they should cut ties with the NRA and other Second Amendment advocacy organizations so they might suffer, quote, reputational risk. And I noted it was kind of like Don Corleone saying, oh, it'd be a shame if something bad happened to that nice business of yours, you know? And these organizations took the signal and discontinued their relationship with the NRA. And that case is before the Supreme Court right now.
It's basically
a de facto blockade of gun sales.
That's such a great analogy, too. It'd be a shame if something happened to this nice business. Yeah.
I don't get the accent right, but yes, that's...
bring the cannoli.
That's exactly what right.
All right. Well, listen, State Auditor Andrew Sorrell, you are a policy warrior. We appreciate you. Thank you for sharing your personal insights and... I need to get you and Nigel Farage on the show together sometime. That'd be awesome.
That would be amazing.
All right. Listen, you have a great day. Keep us posted if you hear anything new. All right.
Yes. Thank you so much for having me on.
All right. Take care. All right. We're going to take a break right now, but I'm going to continue this thread because, folks, I mean, right there, there's a situation where banks are looking over a business's shoulder and saying, huh, you appear to be doing things that we've decided to take a stand against, so we're just going to make your business life miserable. I got more examples. You're going to want to hear it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, making it cool to be a conservative. So we're talking about over your shoulder. Did you know how much of your daily behaviors are monitored? It's a little creepy, just to be honest. I'm not going to lie. It's like mega creepy. It's like next level peeping Tom creepy. Like you can't even look out your window and see the peeping Tom because the peeping Tom has got some kind of camouflage on peeping Tom. It's like the predator up in the trees and you can't see him, but you know something's there and it's hunting you. Creepy. I'm not trying to be overly dramatic. I'm being a little tongue in cheek, but the reality is it's still freaking creepy. So here's the deal. Banks, insurance companies, apps on your phone, auto manufacturers, all of it tracks your daily behavior. We're starting to find more and more now that people are out there that are becoming very skilled at the ability to compile the data and then sell the data, and then people are willing to take the data and change how they treat you as a consumer. You got right now, there's a whole lot going on about the debanking thing. So there's one Christian law firm that's really rocking the case right now. Alliance Defending Freedom. Alliance Defending Freedom is a massive ally in the fight against liberal progressive efforts to stymie our society. Alliance Defending Freedom will show up in almost every state in the union and go to war on stuff and using the court system as its battleground. But Alliance Defending Freedom is applauding a major bank chain for rolling back one of its controversial policies. Story here on Fox News, Dateline May 24th, so just, a couple weeks ago? J.P. Morgan Chase, it says, the largest bank in the U.S. rolled back what it called its WePay service. WePay is something that merchants use. It required merchants to refrain from accepting payments or using the service for what it called social risk issues. Dude, what? Yeah, J.P. Morgan Chase got called on the carpet because they had WePay services discouraging people from, or merchants from using it, if it involved what it called allegations of hate groups, systemic racism, sexual harassment, and corporate culture issues. What is that? That's called big, you know, big tech or big corporations trying to influence public policy without being elected to do so. Hate groups. Don't forget the Southern Poverty Law Center, that race-based hating organization that abuses conservatives from Montgomery, Alabama, puts out the national hate group list, and groups like Moms for Liberty are on it. For the love. So if Moms for Liberty wanted to open a credit account to be able to do business, you're going to wind up having J.P. Morgan Chase scourging, you know, the use of their WePay services. Well, anyway, ADF sponsor or senior counsel, I'm sorry, Jeremy Tedesco said in an interview that Chase has used this policy to discriminate on the basis of viewpoint. So that's the legal term you should know, by the way, viewpoint discrimination. It put everybody who used WePay and Chase, the biggest bank in America, in a difficult position. But we now have apparently the ability to say that when you push back hard enough, ADF did, that it makes a change. I mean, we got examples here like Chase Bank decided to debank Ambassador Sam Brownback's National Committee for Religious Freedom. No reason. They also decided to deny, using its WePay system, to deny ticket payment processing for a Republican event where Donald Trump Jr. was going to be the speaker. It was being run by a group called Defense for Liberty. Okay. Anyway, the bottom line is this. When you push back hard enough, when they realize they've been caught, sometimes you can actually get your way, and apparently they have rolled back that policy. Now, when we get back from this break, I'm going to tell you what's happening with your car. Your car? Yes. This is creepy, like next level creepy. Information about just driving down the road, maybe deciding what your driving score is. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one, Alabama. Y'all know I'm talking about this show. Goes like way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa. Back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi. All thrown in just for good measure. Hey, before I go any further, let me just pause. I want to tell you about one of our newest advertisers, Inspire Advisors. Inspire Advisors. Now listen, this is a crazy world, as evidence for the fact that I have a show that has to have all these things to talk about, right? This is a crazy world. Here you are in the middle of it all, working hard to plan for your future, stand up for your beliefs. Well, what if you found out, though, that in the middle of doing so, that some of your investments were actually going to things that you do not at all stand for? Well, maybe it's time for you to meet Paul Breyer and the team of PhDs and financial experts that are at Inspire Advisors. Inspire Advisors. I'm talking about financial planning, y'all, that considers like who you are and what you believe in as much as anything financial. These are solid local experts using biblically responsible investing, data-driven strategies to maximize your return, and they're doing so in a way that actually has a real impact, not just on your bottom line, but also the world in which you live. This is what I would call true financial freedom. So here, I'm going to give you something free. You ready? I can give you the opportunity to go get a free impact report. Go to their website, Inspire Advisors at moneypatternwealth.com. That's www.moneypatternwealth.com, all one word. And get a free impact report. Sort of assess where your stuff stands right now. Oh, you might be surprised. That's Inspire Advisors at www.moneypatternwealth.com. You can also go to our website, rightsideradio.org, click on the sponsors page, and just go to their website based on the logo you see there in front of you. Just check them out. Inspire Advisors, conservative, godly, balanced financial freedom. Inspire Advisors at moneypatternwealth.com. All right, back on this last dipper, we'll take you all the way through to go home time right now on a Monday afternoon. I'm talking about over your shoulder, like the creepiness of finding out that someone's looking over your shoulder and like reading what you're writing, reading what your screen says while you're in the plane. Someone who's in the library and they happen to glance over there to see what you got going on. It's just creepy, man. It's invasive. Like, mind your own business. Leave my stuff alone. You pull out your wallet and someone wants to see what all you got in there. Now, how about stop looking in my purse, please? Well, not my purse, Charlene's purse, while we're on the bus, or who knows? All I'm saying is this. It's invasive when people do that one-on-one, so why should a company be allowed to get away with it? And yet that's what we're seeing with things like debanking. And in this one I'm about to tell you about, driving scores. Did you know you may have a driving score? So Car and Driver did a story, came out in March. It was in response to a detailed article in the New York Times that says that what we're seeing more and more of right now is that popular features in new cars like OnStar and all the others, the devices that actually connect you to something. I don't know for a fact, but I can't help but wonder if Sirius Radio might be involved. You've got the 911 functions in your car. You've got Wi-Fi hotspot apps in your car. And then you've got apps on your phone while you're in the car. And all of these are considered to be like a gold mine for data. And there are now companies that specialize in compiling that data and then selling it. And they, by the way, they make a huge amount of money to sell it. I once had a lawsuit with a guy in Huntsville who made his millions simply by gathering up lists of names and selling them to people that wanted the lists of names. That's just obnoxious. But LexisNexis, which I use for legal research, LexisNexis is one of the companies that collects all this data. And they literally make it available to the insurance companies. Things you didn't even know was being said about you. Oh, you know, we see over here that apparently he's gone past the speed limit like 3 or 4 times in the last week. Better raise the rates. And that's what they do. It's called usage-based insurance. It's where they look to see how your behavior has been, and then they give you an insurance quote based upon what they can see of your usage. Things you didn't know could be seen. Things you can't even see for yourself. It's so bad that even in the state of California, the state of California is looking at investigating this because it's invasive. Like OnStar has a thing called the Smart Driver Program, apparently. I don't use OnStar. I don't like Alexa in my house. I don't like OnStar in my car. I don't like the little progressive chips, you know, progressive insurance. They give you the chip. Just insert this into your dash and we'll give you a better rate. No, you won't. You'll deny my coverage when I get an accident because you'll say you were going 2 miles an hour over the speed limit because we could see it. Anyway, OnStar has a thing called the Smart Driver Program. A lot of folks don't even realize that when they get the new car, it's activated automatically, like for a 90-day trial, and it's tracking you the whole time. LexisNexis has a thing they call the Telematics Exchange. They gather up like millions of people's data, and they sell it. They even sell it back to automakers. Here's a story for you. How about this? A guy named Rob Leathern, and this is I pulled this out of a story off of Yahoo.com. Rob Leathern was a tech executive in Texas, and he got like this innocuous little email, right, from Toyota. Good news, Robert. You've been identified by Toyota as a safe driver. And he's like, well, how'd you identify me? Promised him big savings from Progressive Insurance. Just get a quote, go online for his, you know, his SUV. So he clicked on the link in the email. It took him to a Toyota insurance website, told him to enter his zip code. He could get a quote. If he clicked the quote, the website then informed him, by the way, he would authorize a company called Connected Analytics Services to send his contact information and all his vehicle ID and certain, quote, vehicle driving data to Progressive Insurance. So he wanted to know what was going on. So he had to really push, and he finally got a report that detailed like the previous, what was it, like 6 months of his driving habits. Y'all, I kid you not. The driving summary had his mileage. It had how many times his car safety systems had been engaged, the number of times he had braked and accelerated at certain rates. It had all the things that insurance companies wanted to see to determine whether he was a good defensive driver. It had a Microsoft Excel spreadsheet with time-stamped lists of every time that he had done certain offending events, they called them, and the latitude, longitude for where they occurred, like they knew where he was at the time. This is nuts. In the speeding tab, there were more than 200 second-by-second entries for times that he had exceeded the speed limits at certain areas. Every bit of this went into his safe driving score that he didn't even know was being gathered. So the thing goes on to say, you may have a safe driving score out there, and you didn't know they were gathering up your analytics, and it's coming back to haunt you next time you get an insurance premium hike. Like, where's the one guy in here? in this article who said he was shocked when he got something in the mail said that his rates were going up 21%. He's like, what? I've never had an accident. Yeah, but you appear to have a safe driving score that's lower than we. Where's the score come from? People looking over your shoulder. That's where it's coming from.
That's why I like older cars.
Older cars rule, man.
Just gas and old combustion engine. That's it.
You can raise the hood and you can tell what you're looking at.
Yep. No computer chips. No alien technology. Just,
I'm telling you. Yeah. When the zombie apocalypse happens, we'll all be driving classic trucks and Mustangs and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying. All right. So there's that. So now we got debanking. That's the banks looking over your shoulder deciding they don't like the kind of business you're running. Or maybe you're servicing the wrong kind of clientele. And so they make it hard for you to do your banking. Banking is the lifeblood of any business. I can just tell you for a fact. And then you've got safe driving scores with all the little devices in your car and on your phone, gathering your data and sending it to people who want to compile it and decide whether you should have the right insurance rate or a higher one. And then you got red flag laws. Oh, geez. Yeah. So red flag laws is where someone else decides that you are maybe a threat to yourself or others. And so they enter you into what's called a ERPO, an extreme risk protection order, where basically the local judges and police can temporarily, quote unquote unquote, seize your weapons. Come to your house, say we have an extended extreme risk protection order. It's a red flag. And we need to, we understand you have certain pistols and firearms and otherwise in the house that we need to scarf up, please. Bring them to the front door. Actually, we need better escort you back there. We want to see what else you got. That's what you can imagine is going to happen. And then while you're in the house, oh, sir, what is over here in this closet? I'm sorry, where's your warrant? But red flag laws, they're a big deal because imagine how it can be abused. You've done nothing wrong, but you're going through, let's just go and throw it out there, like a bad divorce. And the other side is willing to do whatever it takes to keep you from having child custody. And next thing you know, there's a red flag on your name. We think he's a threat to himself or others. Better seize his firearms. Oh, funny how that worked out in the custody battle. How about someone who believes that you've done them wrong in business? They file a report on Facebook, and next thing you know, it's grown into a complaint, and then pretty soon they want to get an ERPO with your name on it. In Nashville, Tennessee, you might want to know that just about 2 weeks ago, Governor Bill Lee signed legislation that preempts local municipalities from enforcing ERPOs. Now, the crazy thing is, he had said he was favorable to this, but the Republican legislature said, you know what? No, we're not doing that, Governor. You cannot have ERPOs in the state of Tennessee because, by God, we're Tennessee. And so, thankfully, ERPOs are now banned effective immediately upon the governor's signature. People looking over your shoulder, deciding whether you should have a firearm. Yeah. And then you got ESG credit scores. They're actually called social credit scores. This is a big thing in China, by the way. Social credit scores. Are you a good citizen? Does this feel creepy? We're going to talk about it when we get back. We'll close out the show with this and some of your text messages, but social credit scores. Well, Ron DeSantis has stepped up again. He's put a ban on them. I'll tell you all about that when we get back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. They're looking over your shoulder right now. We're right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just making common sense like a superpower. Hey, by the way, real quick before I go to the phones, I will tell you this, that a lot of what you're talking about right now with all this looking over your shoulder, it all relates back to the idea of an ESG score, environmental, social, governance. It's this push within corporate America to try and shape all of our behaviors by making sure the companies that service us or keep us in business or that we buy from or whatever else, that they all have a environmental or social or governance woke stance. And the woke stance is actually graded. I mean, and then sometimes companies brag about their ESG score. They get better rates at the bank than you and I would. I mean, it just makes no sense whatsoever. Just so you know, Governor Ron DeSantis, just last month, early May, just a little over a month ago, he signed a bill to ban woke ESG investments in the state of Florida. In his words, he said, ESG is officially DOA in the state of Florida. It's a great slogan. I mean, before that, it was woke goes to Florida to die, right? But yeah, DeSantis has said, at the end of the day, his quote says, at the end of the day, they're trying to exercise power over our society. They're trying to change society. They're trying to change policy when it comes to things they don't like. The bill forbids state and local governments from placing things like pension funds or depositing money with financial institutions that discriminate against their customers because of political opinions, speech or affiliations, or religious beliefs. Listen, that's all this debanking, all of this insurance, you know, looking over your shoulder and figuring out whether they like you or don't like you, the credit score, the driving score, the data metrics coming out of your car, all of this is just like China's social credit score. Or in China, they actually rank you as to whether you're a good citizen. You can be allowed to travel or not travel from China based upon whether you are considered to be a socially acceptable citizen. That is so antithetical to who we are as a people. The idea that it's been allowed to infiltrate this far is wrong. Let me run to the phones real quick for go home time. Jeff Rowe from Indiana. Hey, brother, how you doing?
I had my fish and I'm north of Nashville. I'm doing really good.
It's a good one today. Oh, well, good.
Yeah.
Good.
Hey, you talk about being tracked.
Yeah.
You would be unbelievable how tracked I am in here.
Oh, man. Well,
I've got a camera pointing forward and 3 feet from my face. It watches my eyes, watches everything. And it's recorded into perpetuity, you know, until 2 years after I leave this company.
Holy smokes.
They've got I mean, they can go back. I mean, they can tell you the RPM. They can show you pictures of where I've, you know, draw back at any time, see the speed I'm going, you know, everything, day or night.
It's a little bit creepy. So, I mean, at some point, do you just get used to it? I mean, do you like scratch that itch even though you know the camera's on?
Yeah, you don't pick your nose near it.
Oh god, yeah.
Now
let me ask you this: Do they ever call you in and go, Jeff? We've been reviewing the monitor, and it appears that you have been texting and driving. Do they ever do anything like that with your drivers?
No. Yeah, they do. They can do anything like that. But you know, since I only just push a button and say words, that's not bad.
Wow. Yeah, that is a little creepy. I mean, I guess to some degree, as an employee, you have the choice to leave. If this was your private vehicle, though, that'd be a whole lot worse.
Yeah. And this is AI technology. Actually, the company had a lawsuit that they had to pay everybody in Illinois $800 a piece. That they turned on some kind of AI stuff that had facial recognition so they'd know who was in the vehicle without even having to sign in on the computer or anything.
Oh, yeah.
And they did it without their consent, and yeah, they had to settle a big lawsuit over that.
So I guess the whole thing about having this thing on the back of the truck that says, how's my driving? Call 1-800, yada, yada, yada. That's not even necessary anymore because they can tell how your driving is.
Exactly, yeah. But hey, going on this thing about the credit cards and everything.
Yeah.
You know, what happens if somebody says, you know, I don't, you know, these gay people are selling flags or something and say, if you don't want to respond that no more, would that be discrimination as well?
So hang on. What's your question again, though? If gay people have flags, what?
Well, no, if you had two gay people who are selling, you know, gay pride stuff and everything, like out of a store and everything, and they say, well, we're no longer going to fund that. How long do you think it'd be for a lawsuit?
Oh, yeah. No, are you kidding me? I mean, look at down in Florida where the city of Jacksonville is ready to do a manhunt and charge felonies for kids on scooters who put skid marks on the pride mural they painted on the street. I'm like, good gosh. No, that's the golden calf right now, man. They've got all the leeway they need in the law for the moment.
Oh, I know. It's completely ridiculous. It's getting worse every day. You just got to take a stand, you know, and if you don't take a stand, they're just going to take over.
Well, brother, taking a stand is what the show is all about. Hey, listen, I got about 1 minute for the breaks before we head out of here. So you be safe on the road, and we'll talk to you tomorrow. All right.
Thank you, Phil. Got your shirt. Got your autographed pictures. I love it.
Great. Awesome. Awesome. Good deal.
Thank you, man. Very much.
All right.
Thank you. Take care. Bye.
John from Huntsville has the grades in. He says, if my texture will please stop buffering. Oh, my gosh. Here we go. He says, Big Rig, your awesome performance today gets an A+. Today's winner is obviously Phil with an A++. I like it when he puts the word obviously on that. Congratulations. Also want to say I'm looking forward to tomorrow's Taco Tuesday episode. Thank you, John. Appreciate you. As always, man, appreciate you. Brand new texter. Wow. One guy says that he says, my wife was asked by her doctor if there were any guns in the house. Holy smokes. All right, listen, they are looking over your shoulder, but take heart because we're keeping an eye on this thing, y'all. We're going to keep monitoring this. If they can monitor us, we can monitor them right back. That's what you got to do. You guys have an amazing night. We're back here tomorrow, too. See you then.